Amen. Well, if you have your Bibles, turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 8 and verse 4. Ecclesiastes chapter 8 and verse 4. Amen. The Lord is good. Todd, I sent you a text before I came up here. Can you read it? The Lord is good, and His mercy endures forever. Amen. Ecclesiastes 8, 4 says this, where the word of the king is, there is, where the word of the king is, there is, there's power. Amen. And we know Jesus is the king. I said, Jesus is the king. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. Are y'all all right this morning? Amen. Y'all having the holiday slumps or something? I mean, you eat too much, holiday pie. Amen. Stand up. No, seriously, stand up. I mean, I know it's an early service, but man, I want you drawing on the anointing today. Amen. I don't want you, pulling back and falling asleep on me. Amen. I think God has something good for us today. Amen. Now, I give you permission at any time. If you feel like you're tired, just stand up like this. All right. Nobody get offended by it at all. It's so important for you to hear the word. Amen. All right. You can be seated. Amen. I want full attention. I said, I want full attention. God deserves our best. Amen. And He deserves it. If we're going to wake up early and come to church, then we need to be alive and ready to receive that early as well. Amen. Where the word of a king is, there is power. Jesus is the king. The real question is, do we actually believe this?
Yes.
Do we believe this? Because if we truly believe Jesus is the king and where the word of a king is, and He's not just a king, He is the king. He is the king. One translation says there is authoritative power. Is Jesus supreme in authority?
Yes.
And whatever He says, does it come to pass?
Yes.
Then, man, we ought to be living on everything He says.
Yes.
And isn't that what He said? He said, man shall not live on bread alone. That doesn't mean you can't live on bread. You got to live on some bread.
Yeah.
You know, you need natural things in your life to sustain natural life. But you're not to live on that alone. You are to live on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Hallelujah. Amen. So we should be hungry for the word of God. Amen. Mark chapter 5, verse 36. Mark chapter 5, verse 36 says it this way. But Jesus, overhearing what was being spoken, said to the synagogue official, do not be afraid any longer. Only,
believe.
Only,
believe.
Only.
Believe.
Now, where the word of a king is, there's power. Which means whatever the king, that's King Jesus, says, it shall come to pass. But you know, there are other voices that will talk against what the king is saying. But the king will always respond this way. He will always respond this way when he overhears. And make no mistake about it, he overhears. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. He overhears. The Holy Ghost is hearing all the other voices as well. And he's going to say the same thing Jesus said. Do not be afraid any longer. Only believe. This word only in the Greek means this. Alone, without a companion. I like that. In essence, only means there is no such thing as plan B. When it comes to faith, there is not an option out. You don't look for another thing. Well, if this doesn't work, then. Okay. Let me say it this way. If you go into believing God, well, if it doesn't work, then this, then you're not in faith in the first place. You're not really believing. Because when you believe God at His word, you know it's only this way, and it cannot be any other way. Okay? It cannot be any other way at all. And that's where if we believe that we're the word of the king is power, then we've got to get to this place to where we only, with no other companion, there's not another option, it's only this way, only God changes what we do. Now, what do I mean by that? Let's take this as an example. Okay, Abraham was told by God, by who? By God, to take his son, go up to a mountain, and sacrifice him. Did God tell him to do it? Yes, and was Abraham acting on that? You bet he was. And Abraham was acting on it so much that the writer of Hebrew tells us that he was believing God that he must be able to raise the dead because this is his covenant child that God's now requiring him to kill and sacrifice for him. But how could he actually lose the covenant child that would go on? So apparently after I kill him, God will raise him up. And he was firmly persuaded of that. So much so that he raised up his knife with full intentions in his heart to kill his son. Yet God said, don't harm your boy. Amen. He said, pull him off and there was a ram caught in the thicket, and he used that and sacrificed that instead. Now, that doesn't mean that God doesn't know what he's doing. God will communicate to us. We are to do it with all of our heart until he changes the thought process.
Amen.
But only he has a right to change the thought process, not you.
Amen.
Amen. I said amen.
Amen.
So we need to know what God's word is, his promises are, and are we believing? And we need to only believe. When we hear, you don't come off those things at all. You don't look for plan B. You don't entertain a plan B. You should be so focused that God would have to stop you right in the middle and say, hey, I got another course now. Are you with me? I've seen this happen in my own life before. It's the Lord told me I was at a particular church in the state of Florida. I'd come out of Bible school, and I was sitting on the back row, and the Lord said, you'll be the next youth pastor here. I thought, well, praise the Lord, right? So I hung out for a little bit. I actually got to preach in the youth service, right? And, you know, about a month later, the Lord says, go find a place on staff somewhere. Well, I felt like I believed I heard both sides, but, you know, I was just kind of in this little situation that you're almost thinking you're wishy-washy. And next thing you know, I went online and looked through Raymond's website and ended up talking to someone back at Raymond. Come to find out, David Emine needed a youth pastor in Sand Springs, Oklahoma. And the minute I saw that, or they told me about it, I knew that's where I'm going. And sure enough, that's where I went. Was there for 3 years. Then the Lord told me to come down here and start Anchor Faith Church. Hallelujah. So I came down, and while I was getting ready to plant the church, moved in October 2003. We were going to launch in August 2004, but God moved it up to April. And in the process of doing that, before we actually launched the church, I went back to that church just to visit and to sit in service because we hadn't started the church here yet. And when I walked into that church, the youth pastor of that church that was there when I was there and God said, you'll be the next youth pastor, walked down the aisle, came to me, shook my hand and says, Pastor Earl, you know, me and my husband's going to another place to do ministry. And you were here 3 years ago. We should have left then. And we didn't go. And if we had, you probably would have been the youth pastor here. Now, they didn't have to tell me that, but the Lord let me know I didn't change. They refused to move. So I upgraded your assignment. I believe he upgraded my assignment because he put me around some additional people that those ended up coming and being a part of this ministry all the way from Oklahoma, and I'm thankful to God for that. Amen?
Amen.
My point is that I didn't change. I didn't look for another option. God made that change. We are to get ourselves in a position where we only believe. All right? Also, in Mark chapter 9, verse 23, it says, and Jesus said to him, if you can, all things are possible to him who believes. Now, Jesus, you know, if we went back to the Mark chapter 5 account, he's talking to a religious man whose daughter's about to die, but then ends up dying. That's the message that they got. Your daughter's dead. Do not bother the teacher anymore. You know, she's beyond him now, right? And he was like, don't be afraid any longer, only believe. Right? Okay. Which means there's not a circumstance going on, no matter what you hear, no matter how bad this situation gets, I've already told you I'll come and heal her. See, he had already told that religious leader, I will heal your daughter. So dying is irrelevant. Again, when you get a word from the king, no matter... And hasn't this happened? Hasn't it kind of proved out in your life that the minute God tells you something, the next day or within a week or a month, it gets worse? Well, it's not that the situation per se is worse as much as it's trying to get you to let go of your faith. Because when you get the word of the king, it doesn't matter how bad it sounds now. You already have by him, it's this way. Hallelujah. And the enemy always wants to get you off of believing. Why? Because he knows where the word of King Jesus is, there's power. Hallelujah. In this context, Mark chapter 9, verse 23, Jesus again is confronted with a parent who's having an issue with their child who happens to have a demon. And he went to his disciples. It didn't work. And so they comes to him. He's talking to him about this, what's going on in his child's life. And then he kind of looks over at Jesus and says, you know, if you can do anything, you know, I really appreciate it. And Jesus is like, if you can. Now, you got to understand, Jesus' response isn't the Jesus we see on TV. You know, if you can. He rebuked him with the if you can. Because the very next statement sounds like a person in trouble. Oh, I do believe. Right? Help my unbelief. So in essence, he kind of recants and says, wait, I do believe. But help my unbelief because obviously you just rebuked me. So he says, if you can, all things are possible with him who believing is crucial for us to be able to see God's kingdom manifest in our life. Believing is crucial. You cannot see anything of God manifest in your life outside of believing. You hear what I'm saying? The only way that it can happen in your life without you having any belief to it is that the gifts of the Spirit are in operation or someone else is believing for you, but they'll only be able to do that for a season. God will make you personally responsible to believe on your own because he wants us to grow up. And don't you want to get to the place that you can believe God and his word and it works because you know, because you believe, and that you don't have to run 10,000 people down to pray for you about your situation to get something to happen. Amen. Now, there's nothing wrong with people praying for you if they're in faith. Are you with me? If they're in faith. All right. So we see here, he says, all things are possible to him who believes. Believing is crucial. It's crucial. All right. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, it said, but without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must. This is not optional. And again, belief is a firm persuasion. It is a no other option. It will be as the king has said. That is faith. Faith is not, well, I'm hoping, and if it doesn't, you know, God's will be done. You're already embedding a option. Are you with me? Amen. You're already embedded in an option. The only time you get an option with God is if you're doing the prayer of consecration. Now, Lord, if it's your will for me to go here, but if not, you let me know. Because at this point, I don't know your will. You hear what I'm saying? I don't know it. Has anything changed? I'm going to go on this course. Jesus in the garden said, Lord, if it's your will, let this cup pass, but not my will, your will be done. Lord, if there's any way this cup can pass, but not my will, your will be done. It's not like Jesus didn't know his will. He's just saying, I'm here, I'm going through with it, but if you change your mind like you did with Abraham, if you got another thing here, if this was just about I'm willing to go, like Abraham was willing to kill Isaac, you let me know, and we'll do that instead. But did he let him get another option? So where did he go? To the cross. He was firmly persuaded that God is able to raise me up. Hallelujah. On the third day, I'll come out. I said, on the third day, I'll come out. Are you with me? Okay. So my point is that we can't even go to God. We're not even pleasing God without faith, and that we have to go to him in belief. So you have to believe God and that he's a rewarder of those who seek him. This is why I know a person is not praying the prayer of faith. Well, Lord, I pray that you'll, you know, do this, that, and the other, Lord. But, you know, whatever you want to do, I don't know, and it doesn't really matter because, you know, I'm just glad that I'm saved. You're not even expecting a reward of your belief. You've left it so general. Are you with me? Now, listen, God can't answer those prayers for babes. What do I mean by that? When the man that had leprosy came to Jesus and said, Jesus, if you're willing, you can heal me. And Jesus then answers, I am. At this point, he begins to set in motion to that person, my will is to heal. Are you with me? Now, the next time that man ever had another symptom, he should be able to say, well, the Lord healed me there, he'll heal me here. Amen. Not go back and say, well, will you heal me in this? We know the Bible says that by his stripes ye were healed, and every sickness and disease God always healed. So we have information knowing that God always wants to heal us. Amen. And that all we need to do is what? Believe. All we need to do is believe. Believing is very, very important. And that he's a rewarder, meaning the king will give you exactly what he said he would do. You have to have that expectation that he will give you exactly what he said he would do. Amen? So this is not a God issue. This is a believer's challenge. The born-again believer. Because if you're not in Christ or you've not made Jesus the Lord of your life, well, then you're not going to believe in God. Right? But when you've made Jesus the Lord of your life, supreme in authority, God is saying to us as his children, only believe. Because if you'll only believe, all things are possible. Is there anything that comes across your mind that you think, man, that's impossible? Now, I'm not talking about things that are unscriptural, right? You know, it's impossible for me to have, you know, 15 wives. Yes, because the Lord desired that I would be married to, you know, this one woman, right? And we cleave and become one flesh, okay? So I'm not asking God to split up a marriage so I can get a different wife. So you can't have things outside of his, but whatever his will is, it's all possible. It's all possible. It's not impossible to purchase them all. It's not impossible to create economics so that we can support missions and so that we can put more into the world to advance it because God put us in this nation. I mean, if we want to accelerate missions, we've got to send. We have to send. And I've asked the Lord on more than one occasion, Lord, if it's just about telling people about Jesus alone and there's really no other thing, then let me go to one of those countries and I'll go preach there because there's plenty of churches in the United States. But the Lord said, I know there are, but there's not plenty of churches that are setting themselves up to get out into the world. They're developing their own stuff and what they're doing for their own people, and they're not mission-minded enough to get resources out to the world. And I want my church to get the wealth of the wicked so that it can be used by the righteous so that we can do more for the kingdom of God. Amen. Hallelujah. So while we're here in the United States, let's develop an economy that allows us to get into the world and touch people. Amen. Well, if must believing is something that's required of God, right? Then the question obviously would be, how do you believe? Romans chapter 10, verse 17. So faith cometh by hearing, or comes by hearing, and hearing by the what? Word of God. So faith comes. Everyone in this room today has access to faith. Now, that doesn't mean everybody will be in faith. Doesn't mean everybody will operate in faith. It just means everybody has an equal opportunity in the kingdom of God. Every one of us. Every one of us have an equal opportunity. No one's better than the other. Doesn't matter what color you are, doesn't matter what your economic background is, doesn't matter what your upbringing was, doesn't matter what your education level. Nobody's at an advantage here. Everybody has the capacity because I'm preaching the word of God, and you have access to faith. Now, what you do with it will be on you. That's right. Amen. If you'll only believe, then you can do the impossible. What others would say is impossible, you can make possible because if you'll do what the king is saying, what his word says. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. So faith comes by hearing, hearing from the word of God. Hebrews 11, 1 says, now faith is the assurance amplified, the confirmation, the title deed of things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see and the conviction of their reality, faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. Which means we believe in a word from the king that even if what we see and hear here in the earth does not communicate the same thing. That we'll believe God's word over what our circumstances say, what the world is saying, what the living conditions are, whatever the trial is, we will not listen to that voice, but we will hear the voice of our king. Now, when the word of the king comes and when we hear his word, then it does a few things. It puts an imagination in our mind because words take an images in our mind and not letters. So when I say elephant, you don't see the word elephant. You typically see what an elephant looks like. But that's only if you know what one is. Right. If you've never seen one and I say a word, then you wouldn't know what that is. Are you with me? I cannot think of any animals that you wouldn't know about at this point, so I cannot give that example. My point is that if we have not been associated with a word, then we can't even imagine it. This is why it's so important to be in the Word of God, because if our mind does not correctly imagine the word we heard, then we will miss the manifestation of the word even if we see it. It's very important. You've heard me say this about Tom. I had Tom go get me a green dolly that I knew was over in our little annex, and he went in there and came back and said, "Pastor, I can't find it." I said, "Tom, I just saw it this morning, man. I know it's over in there. Looked everywhere, can't find it." So I went back in there, and there it was, exactly where I said. He was looking at it the whole time, but he was thinking of the square furniture dolly that, you know, has a little rope that you carry around. He was imagining that dolly and not the green hand truck dolly. So I said, "Go get me that dolly." That he went looking for something different than what I was seeing in my mind. Amen? And it doesn't matter that he was around it. He missed it. Amen? Many believers can be in the environment of God. Healing can manifest in service. And our worship minister can say, "Healing's here." And because we don't have the right imagination of God's the healer, then we won't receive something even if it's in the room. Hallelujah. So it's very important for us to understand words. Words describe something that exists. Words are descriptions of objects we see. So in essence, we create things. We name the things we create. Well, we could say it this way. If I drove by a field and, you happen to know that this farmer plants corn, well, it could just be a bunch of rows and dirt. But typically, you don't say, "Well, that's a field." You say, "Oh, that's a cornfield," with no corn visibly seen. So you're calling those things that be not as though they were, just because you know seeds in the ground that hadn't come up yet. Well, how much more the word of the King? That we call ourselves whole even though our body hadn't manifested it yet. We call ourselves prosperous even though it hadn't manifested yet. Are you with me? Pastor Essa sent me a voice text this week, and I'm going to play it for you right here. Because when I came up on the platform, you know, I got this word prosperity. It just kind of dropped in my spirit. And before I speak a little bit more on that at the end of service here, I want to play this real quick. Listen to what he said.
"Hi, Pastor Earl. I just want to appreciate you, your wife, and every person in Anchor Faith Church, and to say I love you and I appreciate the relationship God gave me with you and for the past few years. And you have been a tremendous blessing to me, and God increase you much, much more. I sense in my spirit the efforts you've made in the past years, the harvest will come this year. And little effort, you see a lot of harvest, and you'll be wondering, how did this come by? It's the seeds of the yesteryears that God is bunching together and giving you a harvest in the now. I appreciate you, my brother. Love you deeply. Regards to your wife and every member in Anchor Faith. Keep it real. God bless. Bye."
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Pastor S is over in Nigeria, Africa. And, I heard that. Man, I sent him back. I said, "I'm in agreement in Jesus' name. I receive that." Because I do have seed in the ground. How many of you have seed in the ground? I said, "How many of you have seed in the ground?" Man, when we get into next year, listen, you have been faithful with your seed. And I hear the Lord say prosperity, meaning you'll have more than enough to do whatever needs to be done for his purpose. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It's that help along the way so that we can accomplish what God's called us to do, because he's raising up a church that's selfless, that recognizes my needs are met. How do I get resources somewhere else? Man, and I'm telling you, you need to go ahead and start claiming your seed. Say, "Thank you, Lord, that it's harvest time in 2020. Amen? Because whether you've been with us for a long time or just a few short years, if you've been a sower through the years, you understand that seed's got to come to pass. It has to come to pass if we have kept ourselves in faith. And you know what's very strategic about this is this whole year in 2019, we were purposeful to make sure we made a confession over our giving this year. And we'll continue it through. And I believe as we continue to water the seed with our confession of faith and we keep planting seed in the fields that God calls us to do, then we'll prosper in whatever we are to do. Amen? Hallelujah. So understanding the correct meaning or our image of a word is very important. When we're studying the Word of God, we must see it exactly as God relays it to us, who is the King, for His Word gives us faith. Things we can't see naturally, but we know exist supernaturally, we can cause them to manifest even in the natural. This is why 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18 says it this way, while we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Amen. Are we believers? This whole past year, we've kind of dealt with just being reminded of things. And it seemed right with me and the Holy Ghost that we remind ourselves that if we're going to launch in, as Pastor Marcus already said, how you worship in this last service will carry into how you'll worship in your first service. You know, there's nothing greater about January 1st than what you do when you left this year going into the next. And you know, we ought to leave this year full of faith, full of expectation. You know, Pastor Darrell's not going to bring anything January 12th if we don't expect it. I mean, nothing's going to happen in 2020 if you don't have faith for it, if you don't believe it, have some confident expectation, and only believe it will be according to God's Word. Man, you need to jumpstart yourself every day and say, my gosh, it is going to be as the King has said. Amen. Because I'm not looking at what I see in the natural. I don't care how many years have gone by, what He said will come to pass. It cannot not come to pass because I'm a believer. I'm a believer. Mark chapter 11, verse 22 to 24. You know it says this. Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. Truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain be taken up and cast into the sea and does not doubt his heart, but believes. But what?
Believe.
Man. And that's a funny word, believe. Because it's amazing how many people say they believe and they're not actually demonstrating Bible belief. So again, what's important? You cannot... If you do not understand the word, you'll not imagine it correctly and it won't come to pass. If you don't understand how faith really operates, then you'll call yourself believing something that you're not. You're actually only hoping it to happen. And hope is supposed to be a confident expectation that fuels you to faith. But many people that are saying they believe, maybe in hope, but some are even scarcely in hope. They're really in doubt, and they're just saying they're believing, and they're hoping what they fear won't actually happen. In essence, here's the mantra. They hope for the best, or they prepare for the worst, and hope for the best. You are not in faith if you live that way. If you have a preparation life for the worst, then in essence, you have expectation for bad things to happen. Now, I'm not going to say bad things won't happen. The bad things will happen in this context. In this life, you'll have trials and tribulation. But I don't have to prepare for them. Okay. Listen, God knew famine would come. God knew famine would come. So a preparation came, not because they were preparing just in case it came. Okay. See, if you're like, well, what if my hot water heater? What if this? What if that? You know, I need to make sure I save all that in case. Well, guess what? Those cases are going to come. And then you know what you'll do? You'll pat yourself on the back and say, see, it's a good thing I saved up.
Right.
Now, the good news is, yes, you'll have. But that doesn't mean God was with it. Because
right.
I can show you in the Word that God did not tell Pharaoh, to live a life in his kingdom to make sure he saved for the bad thing. He didn't have that existence.
Right.
But when he warned him it would come, then saving came.
Right.
In essence, he didn't put back anything in storage until the Lord let him know something was coming.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Now, Isaac, on the other hand, the Lord didn't even let him save for it and didn't even let him know. Oh, I'm... He said to him, all of a sudden, Isaac's like, there's famine. Everybody's going to Egypt. I'm going to go to Egypt. He said, nope, don't go. Now, he don't have any reserves. He has no reserves. And the Lord says, don't go to Egypt. Plant in famine. Did he change the famine? Nope. But he calls Isaac's crops to prosper in the famine, and he became the wealthiest person on the land. He didn't prepare for a bad day. He heard the word and acted on it. So it's more important for us to hear God's word, act on that word, than it is. Because again, if the Lord says save because something's happening and you say, no, I won't, he'll carry me through, then no, he won't because he warned you. But again, what's the key? The voice of the Lord. But what we want to do as believers, we want to cookie cut everything. We want to cover all of our bases. Instead of actually following the voice of God. Oh, I'm telling you right now, there are churches that are in debt today that could be out of debt because if people would sow into them instead of saving for their rainy day. I'm telling you, there are many things God would have already advanced, but because people are concerned about preparing for their bad experience. That is coming. And even more so when you prepare for it. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Okay. Well, praise the Lord anyway. Anyway, he says this. He says his mountain be taken up and cast into the sea and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says is going to happen, it would be granted to him. Therefore, I say to you, all things for which you pray and ask, believe that you have received them, and they will be granted to you. Woo, glory to God. I said, glory to God. Amen. You know, it's so important to hear God at his word. Because not every time he does stuff is in connection with what we've seen or heard in the past. You know, when it comes to following God, man, hearing his voice is the most important thing you could ever do. In 2020, you need to be hearing the voice of the King. I said, you've got to be hearing the voice of the King every day. Meaning, whatever he ends up telling you to do, trust that, believe, and believe it. Be firmly persuaded it can only be this way. Hallelujah. It can only be this way. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Doubt your doubts and believe your beliefs, F.F. Bosworth said. You need to doubt your doubts and believe your beliefs. If you're going to doubt, doubt the doubts. I doubt that can happen. That doubt. I doubt that doubt can happen. I believe God's word. I believe God's word. I believe God's word. Kenneth E. Hagin said it this way. Thoughts may come. They may persist in staying. But thoughts not put into word or action die unborn. Woo, that's good. You can't stop fear from trying to come, but you can bind it. And you need to bind it because fear is a spirit. For God did not give you a spirit of fear. So you say, I bind you spirit of fear in the name of Jesus. Now, when doubt thoughts come, Jesus already gave us the answer. Don't hear it, only believe. So how do you only believe? You recount what God has said concerning that situation. Every time I drive on this property, I say, thank you, Lord, for 2121 U.S. 1 South. Because I've still only heard one word from God, occupy. That's all I've heard. Take it, occupy. And that word literally means do business, which means we're going to do business. And I'm not a businessman. What I am is a pastor. But God's going to bring business people around me that are going to be able to help take that and run that and move that. And when we say, hey, we need to put $100,000 into India. We need to put $100,000 over into Nigeria. We need to grab $500,000 and put it here. Hallelujah. Amen. Then we'll do what God says to do. The Lord is good. James chapter 1, verse 22 to 25 says, Message translation says, don't fool yourself into thinking that you are a listener when you are anything but letting the word go in one ear and out the other. Act on what you hear. Man, that verse there just makes me so upset because the reality is I've been pastoring here for 15 years, specifically coming into our 16th year, but I've pastored 20-something years, probably 25, I guess now, maybe a little bit more. And it's amazing how much content the word is available. And I know just through our preaching that it goes in one person's ear and out the other. And yet you get around them and you say, man, you got it. Now, I believe you're not acting on it. Your imagination of what believing is not in connection with the word of God. Okay? It says, those who hear and don't act are like those who glance into a mirror, walk away, and 2 minutes later have no idea who they are and what they look like. But whoever catches a glimpse of the revealed counsel of God, the free life, even out of the corner of his eye and sticks with it, he is no distracted scatterbrain, but a man or a woman of action. That person will find delight and affirmation in the action. I have found in this particular verse, this kind of came up in my spirit this morning when I was looking along these lines, that obedience to his word is not conditional on others obeying. Now, what do I mean by that? I have been in situations, especially when it comes to husband and wives, or when it comes to employee-employer situations, or I've seen it with pastors and congregation members. Are you with me? That one part of that relationship is not actually in faith. They are making a requirement that the other demonstrate that they're obeying before they demonstrate. Hear it all the time. Well, you know, my wife. Well, you just do you. I mean, how did it come you think you're bigger than Jesus? Because if Jesus will not force a person to change, what makes you think you can? Because you got a ring on your finger. No, what you need to do is trust God. I'm amazed at how they'll believe they can hear God, but their spouse can't. Yet they won't walk in the love of God or demonstrate towards the other party, whether it's an employer to employee or employee to an employer. You know, well, the guy I work for, he's just this. So, the Bible tells you how you are to be in faith. Doesn't matter how they're responding to you. Well, they don't deserve it. You didn't deserve to be forgiven. I mean, since was someone deserving something put us in the position where we don't have to now be in faith for our own lives? Some of you just need to believe God that self-control works in your life. That's faith for some people, that fruit would manifest. Lord, I'm believing today that the fruit of self-control will manifest. And you're calling those things that be not as though they were. Because you're in a tough spot. I get it. But do you know if you'll believe that it will manifest, then you will actually operate in it? Man, if we could, but we can't. Honestly, we just can't be as transparent as everybody else. Why is that? Because the scripture constrains me from being transparent in all situations. Because love covers a multitude of sin. There's some people that have been associated with types of sin. Sin's gotten into their life, affected their family. And man, when someone had a little right, it was, if anybody had a right to cut and turn tail. But yet they'll testify. But God brought peace beyond. When everything around me said bolt, I just stayed with the Lord. Oh, if they could testify. If they could testify the hardships that they've gone through and the abuses that have come towards them. Yet, they believe. They do not wait for someone else to respond for them to respond in like kind. So if you're waiting for someone else to respond to God's word before you act on the word, you know that you are not in faith. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. See, I believe God for them all, whether anybody participates. Because if Moses can walk around for 40 years and waiting for a generation to die out, then I can continue on until we get a generation of people who are passionate to get it done. I don't believe I'll wait 40, and I'm not going to hit a rock twice because Moses taught me that. My point is that God's plan to get him into the promised land was forever settled in heaven. And even though there was a group who said, we won't do it, if Moses never would have struck that rock twice in disobedience to God, he would have carried a generation in.
Right.
Amen. Amen. So again, I don't put my faith in you giving. I put my faith in God.
Right.
But if you'll do what God says, then we'll see this thing come to pass.
Right.
Because I'm doing my acting. I'm acting on the word. I'm acting on sowing. I'm acting on participating as well. Amen? Man, I see this place with 1,000 adults.
Amen.
And I know God's speaking to people outside of you to come. Well, they have to act on it. I can't take my gun to their house and say, you're going to church today. It wouldn't prosper us to have them here. Nor would it prosper us. Seriously, even if I pull my gun out and says, you're going to give an offering. Right? We could become the wealthiest church by extortion and stealing. But what would we have? Nothing. Right? Now, God doesn't do that. God tells you what his word is and gives you the opportunity to act on it.
Right.
Amen. Hallelujah. So, thinking faith thoughts and speaking faith words will lead your heart to victory. Amen. Man, I am more excited about God this year than I've ever been. Because he just gets better. He just gets better. I keep my hope in him. Amen. Can't put your hope in people. Put your hope in him. Now, people are there to help. We should be joined and fitted together. Again, we are the brethren. We should walk in unity. I need you. You need me. And we should develop a church that is exactly that way. But the reality is I need you to be 100% committed to his word and only believe and believe that all things are possible and stay in a position of believing. Because when we do that, I'm telling you, there's really nothing that this church could not do. And I believe that God is going to have manifest on the earth before he returns and catches his church away. Bodies of believers. I'm not saying every church will look like this, but there will be some that are operating this way. They are full of the Holy Ghost and power. They are selfless. They are in unity with each other, one mind, one accord. They do not look at the outward appearance, but only look at the heart, and they're passionate about seeing God's word come to pass. Amen. And there's no way I believe that the former church will shine greater than the latter church, because he tells us that the latter rain will be greater than the former rain. There'll be more opportunities and people flowing in the gifts of the Spirit in the latter church than in the former church. There'll be more miracle signs and wonders operating in the latter church than in the former church. There'll be more economic resources in the latter church than there is in the former church. But it takes a group of people who say, man, my life lives by his word. Amen. I don't live by bread alone. I live by his word. Yes. What has he told me to do? Yes. I had a minister here in town. I brought him over here and showed him the facility. And he was kind of looking around. And when he did, says, you know, the Lord spoke to me about 6 months ago to give you something. And I didn't do it. You know, so if you want them. I said, yeah, I want them. Because I needed them. And I needed them when? 6 months ago. See, I used to pray that people would hear the Lord. Then I realized that's unscriptural. Because the sheep always hear the shepherd's voice. So I had to change it. I said, Lord, I pray that they obey you when they hear you. And they obey you when they hear you. Not when they decide to. Many things are delayed. Because people rationalize their hearing. Especially when it comes to giving, because they know it comes out of them into. Hallelujah. And they have to think, what happens when I let go of that? What can I do? What would I? You don't have to worry about that. Cast that care on the Lord. There's something bigger in store. Amen? All right. 1 John chapter 5, verse 1 through 4, and we're closing with this verse, is this. Whoever believes. Notice it doesn't say pastors believe. Doesn't say apostles believe. Doesn't say evangelists believe. Doesn't say teachers believe. Right? Doesn't say evangelists believe. Which one did I miss? Teachers believe. Fivefold ministry, okay? It says whoever. Are you a whoever? Yes. You bet you are. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And whoever loves the Father loves the child born of him. By this we know that we love the children of God. When we love God and observe his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. They're not. So again, if anyone said, man, it's just hard to do the word. No, it's not. Not when you have a clear understanding that where the word of the King is, there's power. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcome the world. Our faith. What causes you to overcome any situation, circumstance, trial, tribulation in this current world system? It's your faith in the King. But you must be firmly persuaded. And that's this. There is no plan B. What I heard God say, I'm doing. Amen. And that because I've done that, all things are now possible. Amen. Whatever he spoke to me, the possibility of it is forever settled. Now, that doesn't mean you wouldn't tell somebody and think that's impossible. Well, they're not believing, are they? I said they're not believing, are they? But you know, listen, there is no way that Anchor Faith Church should purchase them all at its current size. in the natural, it seems absolutely crazy. But I've seen God do some crazy things. And anyone who's ever done anything significant had to cast fear aside and step out into a place of unknown. Now, you may say a church shouldn't own them all. Well, the church won't actually own it. We'll incorporate a property unit that will own them all so that it can function as designed by our government. And then to pay taxes. Sure, we'll render unto Caesar's what Caesar's and what's the Lord's the Lord's. But we'll have resource for the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. You say, Pastor Earl, you get a business degree, do you know how to do that? Nope, but my Heavenly Father knows. And He surrounds me with people. I said, He surrounds me with people. All I got to do is hear. So, do I think we're delayed? I can't say that. I'm not saying we're delayed. Maybe we're right on God's timing. Maybe this is exactly how God wanted it to come to pass. I cannot say that to date. He hasn't spoken to me either way concerning the people aren't given yet. They're not doing. You're going to have to wait. But regardless of what it takes, I already know the word. I already know it. I already know it. Unless He tells me of a ram caught in the thicket, right here. I said right here. And honestly, I'm already three phases ahead of where we're at. Amen. I'm so convinced of this, I'm already looking for the next thing and asking about it. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. We got to keep ourselves in remembrance, knowing that we go from faith to faith, glory to glory. So the minute this comes into play, then we have to say, now, Lord, what's your word for us in this season? That we will believe that in the seen doesn't seem possible. But when we believe it, it will come to pass. It will become possible. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we love you and we praise you. We thank you. You're the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and we honor you. We thank you that this year we're going to see great things come to pass.